Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the first episode of 2025. We're going to get straight into this because there is a lot to talk about, especially with it being playoff football. So talking about the first game is the Chargers versus the Texans. Now, can we say that Justin Herbert was one of the worst quarterbacks in the playoffs this week?
Yeah, I mean, four interceptions, it speaks volume for itself. I think that personally, I had the Chargers winning this game. I think they were coming off the regular season on an all-time high, and the Texans were looking like an all-time low because, on the other hand, for them, it was C.J. Stroud, who wasn't playing the greatest football for like the last couple of weeks, but he managed to turn it around in this game. He actually played very well, especially without Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell. So the offense was able to click. Obviously, four turnovers will give you plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, and even their run game, J.K. Dobbins with 9 rushes for 26 yards. He was pretty much non-existent in the entire game. And that kind of put into their downfall as well. But I got a question for you. Can the Texans make a deep playoff run without Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs?
See, I think it's going to be very hard going into Kansas City next week, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not going to shut down, you know, this is an automatic win for the Chiefs. I do think there is a slight chance that the Texans can play the way they did, C.J. Stroud especially, Joe Mixon. They can beat the Chiefs, and I think they can do it. However, I do think it's unlikely. I do think the Chiefs' defense is playing very well, but it's the Chiefs' offense. That's the question mark for them. So I'll turn it back over to you because I personally think the Chiefs will win, but I will not be surprised if the Texans do pull off the upset.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because we've been talking about this is not the same Chiefs team that we saw last year. Not able to put up 30-plus points in a single game this year. It's going to be very interesting to see. Obviously, in Arrowhead, so Kansas City has that home field advantage, and Arrowhead is not an easy place to play. So it'd be definitely interesting to see how Houston, C.J. Stroud, you mentioned Joe Mixon, and that Texans defense show up against Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely. I think staying into the AFC, the next game was the Steelers versus the Ravens. Now, the last game was a surprise, but this game to me, I think a lot of us, you and I both called it in the last episode, Will the Steelers be a one and done team? We got the answer. The answer is yes. But for me, it's more so about why the Steelers cannot start off fast, why they cannot get going in these games, playoff games especially, you know, a lot faster. In their last 5 games in the playoffs, they've been down 2 to 3 possessions right away. And in this game against the Ravens, they were down 21-0 at half.
Yeah, I think their offense has been struggling. Russell Wilson does not seem to be the quarterback of the future for Pittsburgh. And you got to look at George Pickens. I mean, this guy, beginning of the season, he was looking really good. Towards the tail end, I think he got too much into his head and it made him struggle. And he struggled big time in this game against the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens defense has been showing out lately. Earlier this season, we were kind of talking about it's not the same Ravens defense as last year, but I think you got to look at Russell Wilson and Najee Harris trying to be a Jahmyr Gibbs type of running back, and he's not that.
Yeah, I think we also give credit where credit is due. Lamar Jackson had a great game. Derrick Henry had a great game too. 2 touchdowns, including a 44-yard run. He just absolutely bulldozed that Steelers defense. I mean, I think the Steelers are still pieces away from really being contenders. But the real question is, Nick, now that this is kind of warming up, do you think the Steelers should move on from Mike Tomlin?
Yes. I think because, yes, you're going to have a positive record for multiple years, right? But when it comes down to it, it's what matters is what you do in the playoffs. And the Steelers have been non-existent in the playoffs. They've made it every year. They've just been non-existent. And in a division where it's basically run by the Ravens, you can have a positive record. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to be running into the Ravens in the playoffs. And if you can't beat them, just like you didn't do in the regular season, the coaching job kind of starts to come into question. And what the Steelers do is up to them. If we see a trade happening potentially for a coach, as the rumors have been circulating. So it'd be interesting to see. But what do you think, Mike? Do you think that Tomlin should be out of Pittsburgh this upcoming year?
Yeah, it's a very difficult topic to talk about because obviously you can talk about a coach who's able to get a team to the playoffs, you know, after every single year. But obviously at some point, it's like, this is becoming stale. We know we're going to go to the playoffs first round and lose. So how does Mike Tomlin respond? Let's just say he keeps his job for next year. How will he go into the playoffs, you know, hypothetically, if they make it? How will he be able to get this team to start fast? How will he get the offense clicking? Obviously, the quarterback position is still up for grabs. But it's about what can he do in the first half to get this team going? Because I bet Steelers fans are tired of seeing it going down 21-0, 28-7, 21-7. It's just abysmal, and you give yourself no chance in these games to come back and win. To answer the question, though, Nick, I do not think the Pittsburgh Steelers will move on from Mike Tomlin. I think they'll give it one more year, if that. So I think Mike Tomlin's here to stay, but we'll see what they do next year.
Okay. And the next game, keeping it in the AFC, we have the Broncos, who traveled to Highmark Stadium in Buffalo to take on the Bills. The Bills took care of business this game. They were lights out. Obviously, Broncos come out swinging on the first drive with that touchdown, but then it was pretty much all Buffalo. Josh Allen looked like the front runner for MVP. Obviously, we'll see that matchup coming up this next week when Ravens take on the Bills. But at the same time, you got to think Denver is in a place where nobody expected them to be in this position at the beginning of the year. And Bo Nix, he looked promising.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Denver Bronco fan, you're not mad at this loss. At least I hope you aren't, because as we said, none of us predicted the Broncos to be in the playoffs. And Bo Nix was a big question mark. You know, nobody really expected him to have the year that he did. I mean, if you're a Broncos fan, you lost to the Bills, who are a contending Super Bowl team. So I don't think you should be upset. I know it was a blowout, 31-7. You know, you kept it close in the first half. It was 10-7, but you're in a good spot to build on, and you have a quarterback. That's the biggest thing. Was Bo Nix going to be an answer? And I'm not going to say after 1 year, yes, but you can surely say that this guy has some skills and some NFL. He's NFL material. So if you're a Broncos fan, you should be happy about this. You had a great season. You have places to build on. So just go into the draft and pick up a receiver or a defensive player, because that defense, it is pretty underrated.
Yeah. And I want to pose this question to you, because we kind of touched on it a little bit when describing this game. Do we think the Broncos will be back next year in the playoffs?
This is a tough question. I think we obviously... A team like the Bengals is right outside of the playoffs. You know, if the couple games that early on didn't happen, like the Patriots week 1 loss, we would be talking about the Cincinnati Bengals right now, but I don't think the Broncos will be back next year. I think that they will be close. They will be like the Bengals situation where they drop a game or two and another team sneaks in because of it. That's just my opinion. That's my prediction. So I do think the Broncos will be competitive, though. I don't think there'll be a team that's overlooked or, you know, not going to be taken serious because they are a serious football team and they have Sean Payton.
Yeah, I think one key part of that is they do have Sean Payton, who has proven time and time again that he could be a really good coach in this league. Obviously led the Saints to a Super Bowl and has really turned around this Broncos franchise. But I'd have to agree with you. I think realistically, we talk about that week one matchup between the Bengals and the Patriots, where the Patriots just came out of nowhere and won. I think realistically, it will be the Bengals next year making the playoffs, especially with the AFC West being so competitive. I think that it's going to be really down to the wire between the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Bengals can even slip in there, even though they're not part of the division. But I think we're talking about a whole different situation next year. I agree that they are going to be competitive. Bo Nix is that quarterback for the future of the Broncos, but it'd be interesting to see what they do in this upcoming draft and what they do in free agency, because based on the looks of it, we know what they need to work on, but it depends on if they actually do that.
Yeah, so turning it over, we have the NFC now. We have my Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, it's a shame what happened. I will say that it was a tough game. You know, the Packers yet again shot themselves in the foot. Turnovers, especially on the first play. Keyshawn Nixon on the punt return fumbled. There was controversial takes on that, but apparently he didn't maintain possession. The ball was still moving, apparently. So, whatever. The Packers turned over the ball, though, including Jordan Love's 3 interceptions. Was not a pretty game for Jordan Love. The Packers' offense alone, getting banged up, a lot of injuries. The Eagles were a tough team. And I'll keep saying this. The Green Bay Packers will be back next year. And, I mean, yeah, they'll be back next year. And they're in a good spot for being the second youngest team in the league right now.
Yeah, so my takeaways are you have Philadelphia, who has the number one defense in the league, going up against a banged up Packers team. Obviously, you lose Jaden Reed, you lose Dobbs, and Jordan Love came into this game with an elbow injury, I believe. And you really had to rely on Josh Jacobs, but I feel like they relied too much on Josh Jacobs like they've done all year, where it started becoming predictable once Jordan Love had those 3 interceptions. They just started relying on the run. I remember watching the game, and the Packers needed a score. They were down by 10, and I was like, why are you running the ball on 3rd and 8? Like, why are you doing that? But to kind of key off on that, I have a little surprise for you, Mike.
That is funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, you know what? As a Lions fan, I can respect that. That is comedy. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it and gotten messages. So it's nothing new to me as a Packers fan. For those listening, it's a Green Bay sucks sweatshirt. So friendly banter there from Nick, which means I'll have to get something like that for Detroit.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was waiting on for the podcast. Yeah, I think Green Bay is in a spot where they most likely will be back in the playoffs next year. We've seen this over and over again with the Packers, where they just make the playoffs. Now, what is happening is what they do in the playoffs, like I stated with the Steelers, right? I'm not saying Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat, because by no means is he on the hot seat. He's a great coach. The play calling is what needs to be updated, because a lot of times you're just running. And we've been saying this all year. It's game predictable. And the Eagles were able to predict that. They loaded the box. And Jordan Love, I have a question about this. We know about Jordan Love's contract extension that happened that made him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Do you think that the Packers overpaid him?
Yeah, I think that Jordan Love had a really bad game, just off the mark, missing receivers, even easy throws. You know, the first throw of the game, he almost threw a pick because he sailed it over Dontavian Wicks' hands, which is so uncommon and unlike Jordan Love when we've seen him at the top of his game. Jordan Love, we've seen the highest of the highs. He can be a slinger. He can get it in those tight windows. He can make that big-time throw when the Packers need it. I think that there was something else going on, whether it was the scheme, as you said. Matt LaFleur didn't have the best He didn't have the best coaching in that game in terms of creativity. There was lack of creativity, which, you know, as you said, made it predictable for what the Packers were going to do. The Packers did try and switch off, you know, making some creative runs, but at the end of the day, it's still a run play. Eagles sniffed it out, didn't get as much. So to answer your question, though, with Jordan Love, I don't think the Packers overpaid. I do think that Jordan Love is talented and he's still young in his second year. He will learn from this. He will learn from these growing pains, these disappointing moments, games. And these guys, like I said, are still young. So there's a lot left in the tank for them. I think they'll take these losses and really hold their heads high because now they have guys like Xavier McKinney in the locker room, Josh Jacobs, which are big time needs for the Packers in terms of locker room leadership. So I don't think the Packers overpaid because, you know, you could look at guys like Trevor Lawrence, but Jordan Love does still need some repetition. He still needs some work to do, but, you know, he does have like those off games, like they said, in like his last three games, he was throwing like a 70 QB rating or 80 QB rating compared to
75.
Yeah, compared to like the middle of the season where he was at like a one over 100, I think it was. So where he didn't turn the ball over to. So Jordan Love, he still has a lot of work to do, but no, I don't think the Packers overpaid for him.
I'll disagree with you. I think the Packers did overpay just because they re-signed him this offseason, right? After realistically his first season playing. Really, he didn't prove much last year. He proved, yeah, he can be a good quarterback, but he's very inconsistent. And I think that comes with age, that comes with repetition. But I think you don't pay a quarterback that type of money that has only played one season in the league. And for that reason, I think they overpaid him. I think he has to get more consistency in his throws instead of just airmailing it, underthrowing it. When he's on, he's on. Yes, I'll give him credit for that. But I do think that he is very inconsistent. And like you mentioned, it's his second year playing, and he sat 2 years behind Aaron Rodgers. So it's going to come eventually, but I don't think that they should have paid him that amount of money after just playing one season.
Yeah, which is totally fair. There's, you know, two sides to everything. Going into another quarterback who is playing for possibly a big contract in his future, got the Commanders versus Buccaneers as Jaden Daniels does it again. 23-20, last second field goal, doinks in. But a lot to break down here. I mean, the Commanders went into Tampa Bay and dominated time of possession. Jaden Daniels leads a last second field goal. Is this guy legit? I mean, is he better than Caleb Williams, like people say? Is he the rookie of the year?
Yeah, I'll say he's the rookie of the year right now. Put a timestamp on it. January 15th of 2025, Jayden Daniels will be Rookie of the Year. I think he's proved it. I think leading a team to the playoffs after not being in the playoffs for so long and winning a playoff game for the first time since 2005 is impressive. On the road, too. Yes, they had a better record than Tampa Bay, and I think the seeding should realistically change going forward. We'll talk about a team that really shouldn't have been in the seed they were in coming up, but I think Jayden Daniels solidified himself as the Rookie of the Year in this game. He's been the leading rusher for Washington all season, and he did it again. He was able to make plays out of nothing. And I feel like the Washington's defense kind of was iffy. Obviously, Evans beat Lattimore in this episode of Evans versus Lattimore. But I think going forward in the playoffs, Jayden Daniels can be a very big threat. And he's going into a hot Detroit team in Ford Field. And I'll pose this question to you. Do you see the Commanders making a splash in Ford Field?
Absolutely not. I think that the Jayden Daniels heroic story ends here. I think the Lions environment right now is way too overwhelming. The fans are crazy. It's going to be loud. I'd be surprised if Jayden Daniels can even hear, or if the players can hear Jayden Daniels when he's calling an audible or even the play call. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So I think that it'll be an overwhelming moment for him. However, you know, for every rookie, it will be. Just to make it this far, though, as the Commanders team, I think that there's a lot of people surprised by this, including myself.
Yeah,
I didn't think Jayden Daniels would lead them this far. I mean, I did understand he was a good quarterback coming out of LSU, and you know, obviously he's mobile. There's things about him that he can do.
He's been trophy winner.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are things about him that I knew, but I didn't know that this Commanders team would be this lethal. So they're also, just like the Broncos, in a good place to build on for the future. Obviously, the running backs are a little old, but they have Brian Robinson Jr., some receivers they need, but they're in a good place to build on. But I don't think they'll pull off an upset against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I'll 100% agree. Not as just a Lions fan, but the Lions 15-2, this game coming up this Saturday, is the most expensive NFL game in history, with tickets starting at $550, excluding the Super Bowl, which starts at like $1,000 per ticket. But going on to that, I think Detroit is such an atmosphere, like you mentioned. It gets loud. It's a dome. It gets loud. And opposing offenses are going to have an issue, especially with this game being sold out, including standing room only. It's going to be difficult for Jayden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. But I knew Jayden Daniels was special when he threw the Hail Mary against Chicago. Yes, it was a blunder on Chicago's end, but for him to be able to just do that against Chicago and then just win throughout the entire season. They finished the regular season 12-5 with a rookie quarterback. Not often does that happen. And Jayden Daniels is going to be a star, maybe even a superstar going down into his career, right? So I think the Cinderella run ends, like you said, in Detroit. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. The over-under is like 55.5 or something like that. So I think it's going to be kind of a high-scoring game, but Detroit's just going to come out swinging, coming out hot. So,
yeah, I still think that Commander's defense is a little weak on the secondary side. So I think, yeah, I agree with you that the Lions will come out, maybe go up two scores. We'll see what happens. Going into the next game, this guy was also playing for a contract. Yeah. Our boy Sam Darnold in the NFC North. I don't know what happened to this guy. I'd say ever since the game against Green Bay in like the third or fourth quarter, he just kind of fell off the face of the earth. I mean, he was missing throws like he would back in New York. And it was the real Sam Darnold that we knew.
Yeah. And I'll kind of push it back a little more. I think it really started against Detroit. It kind of started week 6 when they were playing in Minnesota, but it really started week 18. And I texted you, Mike. I was like, Sam Darnold's not ready for prime time. And we kind of knew that. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what the Vikings do in terms of quarterbacks, because they do have J.J. McCarthy, but there is talks about them potentially trading him away and re-signing Sam Darnold. But who knows now after Sam Darnold put up a combined 18 points in 2 weeks, and his only 2 losses this entire season were back-to-back weeks against the Lions and the Rams. And obviously this game happening in Arizona with the wildfires happening in L.A., so I think going forward, the Vikings need to look at Kevin O'Connell, right? I think he kind of fell under the pressure. Sam Darnold and that defense. That defense was really good at the beginning of the season and then just fell off. I think we talk about the Green really question, was this a fluke of a season? Because you bow out in the wild card. And Mike, do you think that this season for the Vikings, obviously 14-3 in the regular season, being the 5 seed and losing in the wild card to the Rams, do you think that season is a fluke?
I think if I were to be a Minnesota Vikings fan, I think I really would look at this season as a fluke, because you go back, you know, we're going to be talking in like 2050, for instance, and, you know, somebody will bring up, well, what about the 2024 Vikings, right? We brought in Sam Darnold, this guy, nobody really believed in him besides the Vikings, and he just had a one-off year, which was insane. So I do think that this was a fluky year, because I think Sam Darnold finally showed us who Sam Darnold really is again. Now, that doesn't mean Sam Darnold didn't get better or he can't have a higher ceiling than before. However, the guy just blundered himself out of a big deal, a big contract. So he's looking at like another 1 or 2 years for maybe $30, $40 million. But you have to ask yourself, if you're a team, there's just a lot of risk with him. So it'll be interesting, as you said, about what the Vikings do going forward with J.J. McCarthy, or do they sign Sam Darnold again? However, you know, I do want to give credit where credit's due on the other side of the football, to the L.A. Rams. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are just never a duo you can count out of a game.
Right.
As you would know from being a Lions fan.
Yeah.
So the Rams actually sacked Sam Darnold 9 times, which is unbelievable, because if you watch the Green Bay game, this offensive line was giving Sam Darnold 7 seconds to throw a football. So
same with Detroit.
The Rams dialed up something really good that worked against the Vikings. They got home to Sam Darnold. I'm sure Sam Darnold also holding the football too long, but they won this game 27-9, and they were down possession and with 5 minutes left, or not 5 minutes left, 5 minutes. So they also got 2 turnovers with, you know, a Sam Darnold pick and a fumble. So it was a very fluky season, I will say.
Yeah, and speaking of fumbles, there was obviously that controversial call with Stafford where they call it an incomplete pass, where Cashman recovered the fumble, which was originally called, and returned it for a touchdown. Now, going forward for the Vikings, and even let's talk about the Rams too. The Vikings, in terms of seeding, right? 14 wins being a 5 seed. We saw it on St. Brown podcast where they were talking about, we think that the seeding should be different. Do you agree that the seeding should be different going forward, where the better record has the home field advantage?
Yeah, I think that after this year, it was kind of crazy to see the Vikings and the Packers both sitting at the 5 and 6 seed. just because if
five
you win
and
the
seven,
division,
right?
5-7, excuse me, yes. But they were five, six, and seven seed they were fighting for. But just because you win your division, yes, I understand winning your division is big. But like the Buccaneers, right? They had the Panthers and the Saints, who
and the Falcons.
Right. I mean, the Falcons were competitive.
Yeah.
The Panthers and Saints, not so much. So if you're in a division like that, it's like it's not very rewarding for, you know, the number one team to get home field advantage. But then you have a team or a division like the North where you have three teams fighting for first place. I mean, that's crazy. So I think the playoff bracket should be changed to record over seeding.
Yeah, and do you think that the division winners should automatically be in the playoffs?
This is a question I haven't thought about, to be honest. Wow. I think if I'm going off my previous answer of records, I think it should go off records, then obviously come down to head-to-heads and all those stats that, you know, gets nitty-gritty. So I do think that just because you win your division, I don't think you should necessarily be in the playoffs because, you know, let's just say perhaps like the Buccaneers, they take a spot away from somebody else who has a better record, or, you know, like the Broncos on the other side, they lost their last game to prevent the Bengals from coming in. So it's kind of like that shouldn't guarantee them a playoff spot. So.
Okay. I agree. But thank you guys for listening to another week of the Gridiron Podcast. If you are a fan of the NFL and enjoy content covering football, then you should consider hitting that subscribe button because we are here every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.